5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening. We're having all sorts of technical difficulties this evening. It is good evening. We've lost our studio people, which is... hang on, here they are. Well. It's 299th episode of the new Panic Room, and I think the Gremlins are in the works tonight. To the last second, we thought it wasn't going to happen, but thankfully here we are, and on the 9th, it's February already. Can you believe that? Kind of scary. It'll be Christmas again soon, and I know I say that every week, and it's. Almost countdown to Christmas, which is kind of scary, but speaking of Christmas...
Come on, I'm with you.
How are you? How are you? What you know? I'm just trying to explain to the listener. The palaver. I couldn't hear anything. You could hear that, and it was. And then I couldn't. And it's just like, what is going on? What is going? And then suddenly, everything happened. Magic. That's my only theory. It is magic.
I actually was going to put myself on mute and not say anything for a second and just, like, freak you out, but, you know, I just thought that would be really mean, so I didn't.
Yeah, do you think?
I know. Yeah, no, I do think it's a blog talk tonight. You know, sometimes we have, you know, issues, but definitely because when you were talking just then, all I heard was a bzzz noise, but it seemed to clear up, and I don't think anyone else heard it, so... Yeah, it's
good.
Going to be a fun, you know, wasn't it a full moon like just yesterday or something?
I think there was a fully yesterday. Yes, indeedy. Yes, indeedy. So
yeah.
it could be that. But although, I was going to say, since I hardwired my my computer to my, well, it's not Wi-Fi, is it, to my network, touch wood, I've not had... The sound problems we've had, it just had no sound. So technically it wasn't a problem
great.
With the sound because there was no sound to have a problem with. So
right.
That makes some sense to me.
Yeah, and what you said about, you know, countdown to Christmas and everything, I distinctly remember you saying that last year. And I was like, oh, man, you know, it would be really nice if, you know, Christmas were that close for real. And last year, just really, we blinked and it was over. So I'm kind of hoping this year slows down just a little bit. You know, I mean, I want to.
It would be nice. It would be
enjoy
nice.
Enjoy it, yeah. So
well, here we are, you know, almost halfway through February. And, of course, Valentine's Day next week. And I'm sure you'll be doing all sort of.
Yay.
Lovey bullshit and whatnot, and it's sad because my daughter, bless her, her boyfriend, he didn't dump her, it was mutual. They broke up a week or so ago, and so we've decided I'm going to buy sort of chocolate covered strawberries and chocolate and some chocolate and have a takeout of chocolate. We're going to sit and watch Love Actually and make ourselves stick on chocolate. Just
oh, that sounds wonderful.
You know,
yeah, you know, I don't even think I knew she had a boyfriend. You are keeping things from me.
Well,
in my head, she's still like, you know, 8 years old, so she's not old enough to have boyfriends yet. So.
Well, it's one of those things, and he was quite a nice lad, but he was just, and I remember saying to her, you know, he'll outgrow him, and he got to, and again, this is like a sort of a microcosm, you know, I mean, okay, but again, I remember my first romance at that age, and it's all very real. You can't, oh, you're only a kid, you know, but it feels very real.
Does.
And he started showing signs of being intimidated by her and trying to hold her back a little bit.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, I was kind of placid, you know, before it got too serious, you know. But I mean, he was nice and respectful, and when he came over and what have you. But so yeah, we're singletons together, and we're going to have an evening. So
yeah, we're heading to Pigeon Forge again this weekend. You know, Valentine's is on the weekday, so we really. You know, aren't going to do anything for the actual day, but we're heading to Pigeon Forge on Saturday. Mm. And yeah, it's like my favorite place in the world to go, so I'm excited.
Clearly.
Yeah, we have our reservations at the Melting Pot, which, again, I just love the Melting Pot. It's so cool. I just love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So we have to pay all that money so that we can cook our own food. And. But
oh, that's the thing, isn't
it?
Yeah, I mean,
they've really
hit on something there, haven't they? You know, you pay, you know, whatever, $40 a hand, you cook your own bloody dinner. I mean, I went on a cruise years ago with my now ex. You know, we got invited to the captain's table. And I said, we're paying, you know, nearly $2,000 a head, and I'm not eating with a fucking crew. I said, if we're forced to eat the crew, what is this? What is this? But anyway, we make light. And I'm assuming we've got some sort of show going on this evening.
We do. We almost didn't. So
I hope
you know,
so.
I have to,
almost we didn't.
I have to scramble. Well, yeah.
Wouldn't
so
that
have
been awful?
Now,
I mean, our 299th show being an absolute bloody disaster, you know. But, you know, being the true professionals that we are, we
yes.
plowed on to the last second. And by the miracle of baby Jesus, yeah. it all happened. So I'm kind of pleased it did. So, Xtina, tell us, what have we got to look forward to this
yes.
evening?
Yes, I am just going to introduce our first guest here, and
we're already
on our way. Yeah. Let's. Yeah.
Hey, go, you just. Oh, you know, I kind of like it when you're all commanding and dominant. It's it's.
I don't get to do it too often at home, so I got to do it here. Yeah. Our first guest of the evening, we have sci-fi and fantasy author Sue Lowe.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Sue, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, I can.
Yes.
There you are. Okay. So my sound level was a bit cranked up, and it was like a sudden burst of noise. So,
I heard you had trouble hearing each other. I was afraid you couldn't hear me.
Oh no! We did. I don't know what, because we have like 15 minutes warm up before the show, and we spent it frantically, you know, rebooting and pressing buttons, and I was switching, putting my microphone into a different socket and everything. And then, thankfully, as the saying goes, it'll be all right on the night. So, and we are true professionals. You know, we're close to our 300th episode, and I like to think we know what we're doing now a little bit, you know. So, but Sue,
yeah,
Sue,
you say that.
Thank you. So, you are, yeah, I'm bluffing, really. Sue, thank you so much for joining us. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
No, absolute pleasure. I'm here to talk to us about your book, Raven. Yeah, and the tagline, great tagline, one of my favorite taglines, actually. Fireball and her academy teammates race to stop a security breach before it costs lives. The tagline says it all. I mean, all the excitement is in there. So just tell our listeners a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's a book aimed at young adult readers where there's some students who are at a... academy that offers them to get a computer science education in exchange for working for a fair wage at the company. So you've got this team of students who have already become kind of a top flight specialist team in investigating security issues. And the company is just about to get asked to investigate a big hack that's happened at a bank. And so we've got a bunch of students who have all sorts of computer skills, and they are trying to figure out what is going on in the world and what this ever-spreading hack is turning out to be.
Wow. So,
cybercrime,
would you call it? Or, I mean, obviously, you're the technical wizard between the three of us. To be fair, I could have done with you to help me figure this out earlier. So obviously, it is a subject close to your heart. What I like about it is it's got, you know, strong female characters, which is great. Was that a conscious effort on your part, or was it just how it came out of your head?
You're actually making me tip my cards here because I work in the tech industry. I work at Microsoft, and one thing that I wish we had more of was books and movies and such featuring diverse people succeeding in computing, because I think it makes a great role model and, you know, represents the world as we want it to be and encourages young folks to get into computing. So yes, I did actually intentionally choose a pretty diverse group of characters for this book. But, you know, in the end, I wanted it to be a great, exciting, you know, mystery thriller. So it's not, you know, lecturing you on computer science or anything.
Oh, good, good. And so is the idea to obviously engage. I mean, you know, you really. It comes to my obviously Hunger Games jumps into my head. You know, it's a very, very
mm-hmm.
strong female protagonist.
Yeah.
Again, that was very, I guess, sci-fi dystopian, that sort of thing. Although it was more bows and arrows than computers, obviously, you know. But
you jumped right to my inspiration, actually, because one day I was listening to NPR talk about how the Hunger Games had caused a big insurgence of girls in archery. And I said, wow.
Oh, really?
Hunger Games.
Oh, wow.
We need Hunger Games for computer science. You know, there weren't enough women in computing, and I wanted that, except, you know, without all the killing.
No, that is brilliant. I mean, yeah, and it's amazing how things like that obviously influence. It's funny, I remember my daughter when she was a lot younger when Hunger Games was sort of popular, and what did she want for Christmas? She wanted it was actually a Barbie bow and arrow thing, which was great, and she spent many an afternoon terrorizing the dogs in the backyard with that thing.
Well, maybe if she were to see this at that age, she'd be trying to get a computer and fix some hacks.
That, you know, that would be great. I would love for her to... although, again, that's the other thing is, again, I'm speaking from my experience, Mike. I mean, she's 13 and my son's 20. I can't... In fact, the last book I remember my son reading was when he was not much older than she is now, and it was actually The Hunger Games. He asked for the box set. I got him the box set for Christmas, and it was fun because I'd be waiting for him to finish one, and I'd borrow it, so I read them. And it's I would like to see more books sort of really actively encourage kids to read. You know, I don't want to wait. I mean, you know, Raven, great book. You know, I don't want her to wait for the film. You know, so read the book here, guys, you know?
Yeah, well, this one is a pretty, like, fun and quick, exciting read. So it was intended to be fun for kids because, you know, we're not going to give them something like eat your vegetables and this will make you, you know, like being in computer science or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is it YA?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, okay. And what, like, ages is that geared toward?
You know, really, kids, there's nothing really bad in it. So you could read it to a kid who's younger, but at about 11 or 12, they're still a little young for the tech concepts. But, it, you know, it's aimed at about the 13 to 16 age range.
Now, with sci-fi and fantasy, it's such a world-building, you know, thing goes into that, I think. With this, is this a standalone, or would it be a series, or do you have any sequels planned?
I actually do have a second book in the works, so it's about halfway done. Eventually, we'll have more adventures of these students, for sure.
So it's continuing with the same characters, yeah?
Yeah, the next book is the same characters that, you know, a little bit after the completion of Raven.
Right. And I have to ask him now, I actually ghostwrote a young adult. He's funny, it was Church of the Latter-day Saints young adult thriller romance. It was one of the hardest things. anybody who's familiar with my work will understand. It was one of the hardest things I've had to write. How easy was it for you, Sue, to write for that level?
Actually, the truth is this book was ghostwritten too. I'm a software engineer by trade, and I knew that if I were to try to write this book, not only would it not get done, but it would not be nearly the level of quality it is. So I had a ghostwriter write it for me.
Wow.
But obviously,
the
ideas were all yours. Obviously, I mean, it's your baby.
Yeah.
I mean, I found. Yeah. I mean, I found sort of what's the best word of tempering my style for younger audience, you know.
Yeah.
And it was funny. I mean, many years ago, actually, I wrote a pilot episode for a sitcom that sadly never got made, but as many of them don't. And I wrote the first, and it was brilliant. You know, the guy loved it, absolutely loved it. He said, Jim, can we take the torture scene out of it? Seriously.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Do you know, it was one of the best scenes, it really was. But so, yeah, and as well, I mean, you look at the level of, I guess, the maturity of a lot of, you know, 12, 13-year-olds now. Versus certainly when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was still playing Legos, to be honest, at that point.
Yeah, with Barbies, yeah.
But having, yeah, again, just certainly with young adult, you know, he's treading that fine line because there are things going on and they're yeah, as I said, with my daughter, you know, they're getting their first sort of experience of romance and that sort of thing. And, I mean, is there a little bit of romance in Raven too?
Oh, there's a little bit of, like, you know, kids crushing on each other, but nothing.
Oh, love
very,
it.
Yeah, deep. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to have a little romance in everything I read, I think. Maybe I'm at that age. I want a happily ever after. I want some love in there. So, yeah. But I definitely want to hear more about Raven. I think Sue had an excerpt she was going to read for us.
Yeah, I do.
Excellent.
Yay.
Excellent. Okay. Do you need to set it up, or do you just can you just get straight into it?
I just want to. I'll describe a little. This is near the beginning of the book. We've got Fireball, the team lead, and the other students on the team just sitting down to breakfast. And this scene is really kind of the introduction of one of the characters, Mom, who is part of the staff at the academy and watching over the kids. So it's just kind of a fun scene of them, you know, starting their day.
Brilliant, so. Brilliant. Okay, the airwaves are all yours, Sue.
Okay. Earth the Fireball. Fireball peeled her gaze from Books's face to see Wiz looking at her quizzically. What? I asked if you'd scoped the bus that'd get us to Ben's tonight. Not yet. I figured I'd do it today sometime. I'd get on that if I were you, said a voice above Fireball's head at approximately the same time a bowl of melon balls appeared in the table in front of her. It was proffered by a strong brown hand with no-nonsense, unvarnished fingernails. Aw, Mom, groaned Fireball. I didn't ask for fruit. No, indeed. I see that your breakfast is composed entirely of carbs and sugar. You didn't ask for fruit, kiddo, but you will eat fruit. Fireball rolled her head back and looked up at the woman every student at Sinvento Academy called Mom. She stood, arms crossed, head a tilt, eyeing Fireball obliquely through a tail of her hazel eyes. I'm not five, Fireball said perversely. Five-year-olds need to be told what to eat. I'm more mature, Mom rolled her eyes. Oh, mature, says she, whose brain won't be fully connected for another 6 or 7 years. They had a similar dialogue virtually every morning, and every morning it ended with Fireball eating fruit. Sometime in the misty past, someone had referred to Mom as she who must be obeyed, and the idea, if not the nickname, had stuck. Occasionally, one of the kids would refer to Mom as Shihuambo. But that was not clever by half, Fireball opined. Mom was just Mom. They knew her by no other name, though Books claimed he'd heard Carver refer to her once as Mar, which could be short for Mary or Marlene or Margaret or a bunch of other M names. Sometimes, when bored, the kids would conjecture about what Mar was short for. It would never occur to them to just ask. Such things were simply not done. Besides, it would kibosh the fun of speculation. Mom was one part lunch lady, one part drill sergeant, if the drill sergeant had an infectious laugh and a dry sense of humor, never punched out, and demonstrably loved her recruits. The other two parts were counselor and parent. Fireball felt she could tell Mom just about anything, and the woman would understand. She had it on good authority that the other kids felt the same way. Mom was probably in her 50s, but the kids didn't think of her as an adult so much as an older kid whose experience in the world demanded respect. Mom was the fixer of boo-boos, the shoulder you cried on when you felt alone in the world, and the bringer of unwanted fruit. At least, Fireball thought, it was melon balls this morning and not stewed prunes. I'll check the bus schedule right after breakfast, Fireball said now. How many of these? In answer, Mom reached a long arm between Fireball and Cricket, who sat to her left, scooped up a serving spoonful of melon balls, and plopped them onto Fireball's breakfast plate in the lee of her half stack of pancakes. That many, she said. Anyone else here who didn't put fruit on their plate? Ditto. See you at the party tonight, if not sooner. She turned and started back toward the kitchen, then paused and turned around. Oh, by the way, I hear there's a new student coming in today. A boy your age. She turned and strode off toward the kitchen, light from the tall windows bouncing vividly off her close-cropped, presently green hair. Why'd she tell us about the new kid? Wiz asked. Low probability he's in our team or even in our form. This was true, Fireball mused as she chewed her melon balls. Not half bad, really. Team Raven was something special at Cinvento. Students of the academy, yes, but so much more. They were one of a handful of top-flight student tech teams with a particular and focused set of computer skills, more qualified to handle the prime client cybersecurity accounts than many of the adult full-time workers. The chances of the new kid being in their class or in their working team were pretty slim. Even if he had the computer chops, they'd most likely not be geared toward the deep-level security required for inclusion on Team Raven.
I enjoyed
Brilliant.
That.
I enjoyed that. Beautifully read.
You
should have read your own audio book, Sue, to be honest. You should have.
Thank you. Although I have to say the person that read my audiobook did a great job. She made it very exciting. So if you like a good, exciting rip, like, she did a great job.
It really was a good audiobook, yeah. But, yeah, you know, I wish when I was younger, because I love to read, I was never without a book, probably from age eight on. And there just weren't a whole lot of books for young adults. You know, I mean, I was definitely reading adult books, I think, by that age. But I would always look, you know, and they didn't have a huge selection. So I would have checked out Raven. I wish they had stuff like that when I was a kid. It's very exciting. And I think when you're a kid, you know, that's what you want is excitement, something that you're going to it's going to catch your eye and going to be exciting. So, yeah, I really – so I was going to say, when you go to make out the signed copy of Raven, that's X-T-I-N-A.
All right.
So make a pay for it. Make a buy one. I would. She's always
week,
on the catch. Every week. She's got shelves full of books that she's managed to
– I love them. I do. I take pictures and I'm like, this is my favorite shelf right here. All, you know, the guests will sign books to me. I love it so much. Anyway, yeah. No, you said that there's a sequel that is on the way. Do you have an idea in mind or how big you want the series to be, or you're just really playing it by ear right now?
Playing it by ear, to catch young people's attention these days, one of the things that has been suggested to me is that it would be good to have some shorter stories that we could do something like come up with short films about. And so perhaps if I do a third book, it might be something like short stories that we could turn into different kinds of media, but haven't really decided what the plan is for after this yet.
Yeah, I can say that in my experience, kids, their attention spans are getting shorter and shorter. So, you know, you got like TikTok and all these, you know, yeah, we had, I'm trying to think, you know, sometimes I have a daughter and son and they just, love the TikTok, and they're just always, you know, you scroll to one video, you watch it for, what, 30 seconds, and then you scroll to the next one, and it just becomes this mind-numbing thing. So I'm not a
yeah.
fan. I'm not. So.
Yeah. But I
would just
see,
like to...
You know, like, oh, I was going to say, I love the characters here, and having a short story about mm-hmm. kind of introducing each character and showing them do something cool would be a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And as what is funny, and I mean, as a lot of people think, you know, writing a short story, oh, it's easy that, but it's not, because you've got to cram so much in to, you know, with a novel, you've got, you know, 80, 90, 100,000 words to ramble on and do all of that. But with a short story, you know, it's... You've got to have a beginning, a middle, and end, and build your characters and all the rest of it. So so good luck with that,
yeah.
Sue. Good luck.
Thank you.
So, Sue, I mean, who you said obviously Hunger Games was an inspiration. When you're not busy Microsofting and what have you, do you like to read? And if so, who do you like to read?
Oh, I always am reading, and pretty much run through everything in sci-fi and fantasy. So I don't have any one particular favorite author. There's just so many good ones out there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember as a kid, I used to devour, I used to read a hell of a lot, but I used to love, you know, the classic, certainly the sci-fi, the Heinleins and Arthur C. Clarke and Le Guin, you know, all Bradbury, and I used to devour, because, you know, our fortnightly treat was a trip to the library, and I used to buy all these, borrow all these, you know, with the wonderful covers, and, you know, I can still picture them now, you know, and it was just being whisked away to magical worlds, and I've said it before, I mean, one of the things I even as a writer, you know, I find it very, very daunting trying to be the thought building an entire world, an entire alternate universe. And I mean, how do you go about that?
In this case, I was looking for something related to tech, and I came up with a set of characters that I really loved, and then, you know, a plot line that I thought was fun. It's funny because one of the things that made me have to hurry and publish the book was I'd already planned it for it to be a hack on a bank. And then when I was finishing up my plan for the story, there was that big hack on Experian at about the same time. And I was like, dang it, I need to hurry and get it going before
yes.
like more in the book comes true, you know?
Yes. Well, I wanted to... you know, ask a goofy question for a sci-fi fan, Star Trek or Star Wars?
Oh, I love both. I would say for more serious story, I like Star Trek. Yeah.
There's no wrong answer.
I'm not a big fan of the early Star Wars movies. The 1, 2, 3, I think could have been better. Otherwise, yeah.
It's funny. I'm really not a huge sci-fi fan, and my husband is, and I like more of the horror stuff, and I'll watch some sci-fi with him, and I can get him to watch some horror with me, and I'm like, we need to find, like, a horror slash sci-fi thing. That
well,
way
well,
we
okay.
can
what
both
about,
be happy. Yeah.
What about Alien?
Ooh.
Sci-fi or horror? And I've had this argument many, many times over the years. Well, where would you put it?
If you're asking me, I would say it scared me enough. I'd put that one at horror, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but it could be one of those sci-fi slash horror things that would, you know.
Well, there you
make
go.
A,
there you go.
A husband
so...
and me both. Yeah, it's a really good movie. So. I did like.
So there you go.
You can
sit and watch Aliens together and both be happy.
Yes, I was gonna say I did like Aliens better than Alien, but you kind of
yeah.
think have to watch the first one to. Yeah, I think it's one of the few sequels that I actually
better.
Well,
that's the thing. I mean, Aliens was an action movie, basically.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I mean, I enjoyed it. I remember seeing that at the cinema when it came out. And at the end, everybody stood up and cheered, literally. It's the first time I've ever cheered a movie.
Wow.
But Alien was more... It was more horror. It was more atmospheric. It was just, you know, more imaginative. I think out of the two, I think the original for me is always going to be the favorite.
Yeah, I definitely hope that's one franchise that never gets rebooted or reimagined or whatever.
They're working on a TV series actually of Alien. That's the next thing. I think there's actually going to be another movie out as well. So. That's going to be fun. Sue, I mean, do you see yourself sticking with young adult, or do you think you may branch out into adult writing at some point?
I'll probably stick with young adults, you know, since I'm trying to encourage young folks to get into computing. Mm. I'd love to keep with that sort of age range. Mm-hmm. If anything, maybe try to find something younger so that middle schoolers and folks get inspired too.
Well, that would be interesting. Do you think you could, because obviously, I mean, young people, I think it's sort of in their DNA now. They're born pretty much knowing how to work all technology ever. do you see, you know, you could write a similar sort of story, but for the young, obviously, maybe scale it back a little bit. I mean, could you see that working in the idea of getting the young people, you know, middle school age, excited about tech?
I've explored the idea of trying to get a graphic novel put together. I think that would be kind of fun. But, you know, I have to come up with what those stories would be, too. I've had people encourage me to make Raven into a graphic novel, and I think about it, but, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be a big job.
It would be great. And it's funny enough, you mentioned that. Again, I've mentioned my daughter. I mean, again, she's 13. And it's not often she could have knocked me down with a feather. She said, I want you to get me a book. What an actual book. But it's one of these that's kind of half graphic novel, half novel. She devours these. She loves these. And, you know, a mother, my ex-wife, you know, says, you buy a comic book. And I'm just like, no, she's reading. So just seriously,
yes,
you know, just back off, woman. You know, she's asked for a book. You know, it's like, wow, I could not order that book fast enough. And she's absolutely loving it. So maybe that mix of the visual and, you know, because as Xena said, you know, they're used to the whole TikTok thing and the, you know, the short attention span. But there's just something about these books that, because it's visual, it puts a story across, and they're still reading. So I applaud those. I really do. It's a great idea.
Mm. I used to be a huge, well, you know, I've talked about being a huge Buffy fan, and they stopped in season 7, and then they went to comic book form. And I was like, comic books? What? And then because it was Buffy and I loved it so much, I started buying the comics, and, oh, my gosh, it opened up a whole new, you know, world there. It was pretty cool. Yeah, it was really... Yeah, I enjoyed it. I really did. And then they did the graphic novels and stuff. And, that reminds me, I have to buy some more. It's been a while.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I did not know that.
Yeah, they did it for Angel, too. Yeah, they stuck with the original, you know, storyline and just kept it going. And I remember Joss Whedon, I think, said that this allowed them to do a lot of things that they really couldn't do. With a television series, so
it was
pretty neat. Yeah, it was pretty neat.
There you go, Sue. That's your next project.
Yeah,
excellent.
Yes, and on that note, I think we're going to we're out of time for our first segment, and you have to promise to come back and see us.
Oh, that would be great.
Yay! And tell us real fast where we can find you online.
a great place to find me would be my blog, which is evilplantosavethe.world. From there you can find Raven and various thoughts about tech and diversity and all sorts of other thoughts.
Awesome. And for all of our listeners, go out and buy Raven by Sue Lowe. And thank you so much for coming on the show, and I can't wait to have you back.
Thank you very much. It's been fun.
Thank you, Sue. Absolute pleasure. And we'll speak to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, you know, time is beating us, unfortunately, and it's time to break out another box of Chardonnay Extina, and we will be right back.
Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Extina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media, our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
The Indians send signals from the rocks above the pops. The cowboys take position in the bushes and the grass. The score is with the corporal, she is tied against a tree. She doesn't mind the language, it's the beating she don't need. She lets loose all the horses when the corporal is asleep. And he wakes to find the fire's dead and arrows in his hat. And Davy Crockett rides around and says it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats.
Stop! Welcome back to part two.
Well, we are back again. That first half flew by.
It did.
Yeah, I could have talked to Sue all night, to be honest. Actually, that was brilliant. So,
yes.
I guess if she ever gets fed up working for Mr. Gates, then she can be an audiobook reader.
Then come over, come on our show, and just read for us. We would like that. Yeah.
That sounds phenomenal. We'd have her on every week. That'd be a whole new section.
It's been a bit of a theme
through the show over the years. Fruit flies. and I have to mention it again. We still have animals in the house and what have you. We have fruit fly. I looked up best fruit fly catcher thing, and I got this thing, and it's an electric thing, and it's got a little UV light that comes on at night, it's on a sensor and everything, and you put a little bit of apple cider vinegar and a thingy, and it attracts them, and there's a fan that pulls them in, and there's a sticky pad and everything, so it's chemical free.
Wow.
And all the rest of it. I know this thing costs $40. $40. And
wow.
I've had it 2 weeks now, and it's caught 5 fruit flies. 5. Seriously.
Oh, gosh.
You know, and it's like, so that's $4 a fruit fly. And sorry, no, it's not. It's $8 a fruit fly. I catch more by with my bare hands, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's like every morning I get and I open the little drawer at the bottom. To be fair, we actually caught a mosquito last night.
Well, it's doing something at least, you know. There's
so
that.
We've got a fruit. So you know, since I last changed the little pad thing, I've got a fruit fly and a mosquito. So it's just like, you know, what a great investment this has been. I'm still stalking around the kitchen. I think they're breeding in my drain. I don't know how to get rid of them completely. You know, pour boiling water. These things are indestructible. Absolutely indestructible. You know, when the bombs drop and the nuclear winter falls and all life is killed, there's just going to be fruit flies and cockroaches left. Probably in my kitchen.
Yeah. Yikes.
You know, we'll all go hang out in Jimbo's kitchen because we're safe over there, you know.
Speaking of insects and things and stuff, you know, we did the Repticon, not that that's an insect, but we did Repticon last week and last weekend. And I think one of the first times we went and did not bring anything live home. And when I started, you know, getting the ball pythons, I had a couple of grails. I had a couple of ones that I really wanted. And one of them was a pied. I think they are so cool, you know, with the
white.
Oh,
they are,
and
They're
beautiful. And a couple of years ago, they were crazy expensive. Like, it was like $1,000 to get a nice pied. And
wow.
Last weekend when we were there, there was one for $350, and he was like, "I'll, you know,
really?
Shave off 50,
ooh,
so it's only $300, and I think if I tried a little harder, I could have, you know, took him home. But, you know, oh man, it was a pinstripe.
That,
and
that is a very good price. Yeah, we paid. I think we paid either $350, $400 for our banana python.
The
yellowy sort of banana-y color. It's absolutely
right.
Beautiful, beautiful color.
Yeah, the one we have that's yellow, is yellow and black. He was $350, but you know, to see a pied for that price, I was like, oh my god. And you know, as it is, we have 4 snakes and we have 4 dogs, and that's just a lot of stuff. So, you know, we did, but I still, oh man, I wanted it. But yeah, that was my story. I think it's you're the one who always does this a little bit, so you have to, you know.
Anyway, before we go agreeing to buy more snakes, It's that time of the evening when we do say...
Okay. Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
It's the lovely Samantha.
Hey,
Alex,
can you hear me?
Yes,
Woo,
we can.
Yeah,
can you hear... More importantly, can you hear us?
I can, yes.
You just feel like you're in a tunnel, but we can definitely hear you.
Okay, no, hold on a second. Give me... Can you hear me now?
Oh,
yes,
that's
better. There you go.
Okay.
That's better.
I have my headphones in because I needed my hands, but if I sound like I'm in a tunnel, we can't have that.
So what do you have for us this evening, Samantha?
Okay, so Christina Pfeiffer keeps doing these buddy chats, and they are absolutely amazing. And the latest one that we did was Nauseous by Mike Annenbach. And I decided to review that one because, as Rain Havoc likes to say, it is a heart boner book. That's mm-hmm. how it makes you feel. It gives you a heart boner. Oh, and also,
okay.
I told them tonight that I was going to review it in case they wanted to call in and listen. And Mike told me to tell you guys that he says hello.
Hi.
I have no idea if they are there or not. But no, Nauseous is so good. It was so much better than I thought that it was going to be. I'd never read any of this stuff. And there's mm-hmm. 11 works inside, 10 are stories. One is like a lengthy poem. And mm-hmm. they all vary, and they're all so good. There was Blue, and it's about the blue people, and it's written in, like, letter form. So this guy is writing to his, like, his love, and he's trying to get home to her, but it's really not looking good. And in the buddy chat, I think all of us kind of interpreted the blue people as something different. And it was cool because we got to think Mike's brain about it. Yeah, it really was. Like, I thought that they were, like, vampires. But when you asked Mike about it, he said that he always, like, when he wrote them, he viewed them as demons, which is kind of cool. I know. And then there was Chances, and it really was powerful. It's about a guy that he tries to commit suicide, and he kind of ends up in this limbo that would remind you of the scene in Beetlejuice where that guy and the girl are sitting on the couch, and they're, like, trying to figure out what's going on. It's very reminiscent of that. I know. I loved it. And it's very, very good. The ending is just amazing. Like I said, it rips your soul out.
Really?
He did one called March 15th that was like the movie Groundhog Day. So this guy, mm-hmm. he goes through a breakup and every day is the same. And it's like the same song.
Oh.
And what I mean? Like everything is the same.
Yeah.
And then there's
brutal.
Noises, which I think we all interpreted differently too. And some of us felt bad for him and then others like didn't. He's a guy that's hearing impaired and his like woman has left him. And she's left because he has shut down and things aren't the same. But he thinks she has left because he's deaf. So that one was really good. Those ones were my favorite. But, I mean, the book is so good. It's not very long. We read it over the course of a week, and we would do, like, discussions. But his work is very, very good. I'm going to have to pick up some of his other stuff because it, like, your soul just, it hurts when you get done.
I want to be part of those discussion things. That sounds like really fun. I don't know, nobody invites me to anything. It's just sad.
No, I can have Christina invite you to the group chat. She started this, I think, not
like so
anticipating. I don't think she anticipated, like, the replies that she had got. And sometimes she's pushy enough to get the authors inside of the chat with you. So, like, we're doing one right now with Genital Grinder and Ryan Harding's in it. Mike is in our chat. We've had Simon McHardy and Sean Hawker in chat. She does a really good job. The chats are fun. You do it over the course of a week, and you get in there and you discuss it. I love them. I'll have to have her add you.
Yeah. That sounds like so much fun. I've tried in the past to get some kind of like a reading group going or something like that. But you know, number one, you can never decide on what book to read, and so many people are just people like different things. So, but
they do.
So it's you know. Yeah.
I've sat out a couple of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I've sent out a couple of them, but most of them I've participated in. A lot of the books you can find on Kindle Unlimited, or they're, like, really cheap in paperback. I think she kind of set up the books because she had this, like, order that we were going since August. But I haven't sent out very many. There's only been a couple. The books she chooses are really good, and some of them are even rereads. Like, I think General Grinder, she said she'd read 8 times.
Wow.
You know, so she doesn't care to reread and let you guys experience, like, new stuff. Yeah, they're awesome. I love the buddy reads that we've been doing.
Yeah, that sounds like so much fun. So, yeah, give us a shout-out of what the book was and who it's by. And again, how many stars would you give it?
Oh, it's called Notches by Mike Innenbach. I think on the front of the book it says M. Innenbach. It's definitely a 5-star read. It's very, very good. I have a paperback copy that I'm going to keep, and I've been, like, highlighting and stuff. So
I think that is the only book I don't have by Mike yet. I have all his poetry, and I have to say, if you have not read his poetry, you definitely need to.
I have not.
Because it's an experience. It's not just normal poetry, and some of it is just so brutal, but so real. Definitely, I would say pick
that's
it up.
That's how Notch
we've
is.
Had, yeah, we've had Mike on the show a few times, and I can't wait to have him back because he's just he's a lot of fun, and
he is. He's very
interesting.
Nice.
To pick his brain because, if judging by the poetry, I don't know if I'd really want a peek into his brain. Maybe from like far away, like with a microscope or something, but nothing too close up because it might be too scary in there. But no, we love Mike though. But it's a little scary sometimes, but. But yes,
it's definitely an experience. His writing is very, very, it's beautiful and it's heartbreaking. And, you know, like Rain says, you know, heart boner. It's very, very good.
I definitely, heart boner. I'm going to have to remember that one. So
yeah, use it while you can, because I think she's going to trademark it.
All right. I was wondering, since I have both of you guys right now, There's a new show we started watching, and it's, I guess, what is it called? The Last of Us, I think. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I do. I haven't seen it.
Have you seen it, James?
I have. I've seen the first two. I'm actually, I've got the third one to watch. The first one, it was just like so many, you know, these others. And then I read, online on Facebook, people saying, oh, your episode two is really, really good. So I thought, I read Paul Kane left a message on that, mm-hmm. Episode two. And I watched episode two, and it was brilliant. I actually said, that they should have started with this. I'm told episode three is very, very good. I mean, it's obviously based on a game.
Right.
You can tell.
I've heard that it
is very gamey, but it's kind of Walking Dead-y, but not quite.
I have to say, I did not know anything about the game, and we started watching it, and I liked it. The first episode, I was a little hesitant. Because I don't think I've ever seen another show that was based off of a game, I don't know if I would say it was gamey because I don't have anything to, compare it with.
Mm-hmm.
We really liking it. I do remember thinking, do we really need another zombie, show right now?
Oh, absolutely,
It's different. It's different. And even the zombies are fast, which that's another thing that totally – freaks me out because in The Walking Dead
they're modern,
just
modern zombies,
they're fast, like I said, they're just so holy crap.
I'm gonna turn this on now.
I'll tell you what I've just started watching. It's called The Offer, and it's a dramatization of the making of The Godfather. And it is phenomenal. It captures the essence of sort of the, you know, late 60s, early 70s, and the music's great, it's great acting, and it just showed all the casting and the involvement of the mob and blah, blah, blah. Brilliant, brilliant. It's on Paramount Plus. Absolutely recommend it. Again, it's not horror or anything like that, but it's
right.
Damn good TV. And I also noticed, I think the final season of You has popped up on Netflix, so I'm going to be watching that.
I haven't watched that yet either.
You know,
oh,
Sam,
wait. It's been a slate of the last series, but I absolutely enjoyed it.
Okay, Sam, here's the thing. If you've not seen the show, okay, I tried it. I tried the show, and I guess it's fine or whatever. Some people absolutely love it. You know, my I love Jeff Strand. He absolutely loves the show, and I'm like, I read the book. I read the book way before the show, and the book was phenomenal.
I tried to read the book three times.
Oh,
no,
my gosh.
I tried to read the book three times, and I couldn't do it.
The book was so good. So that's why I cannot watch the show. I've tried, and it just doesn't have what the book has. So, but maybe you'll like the show, because, so if you didn't care for the book, so go ahead and try the show. Fine.
No, I tell you, I'm actually looking up The Last of Us right now. I need to know how fast these zombies are.
They are fast. Thank you so much, Sam. I can't wait to see what you have for us next week. If you're listening, Mike, hi. And we got to get to our
future. Yes, we will. Yes, well, and we will speak to you next week, Samantha.
Bye, guys.
Okay, bye-bye. So, we have, I presume, we have our next guest. Do you want to do the honors, Christina?
I sure do. Yes, for our next guest of the evening, we have young adult science fiction author Benjamin Sonic.
Hello.
You didn't tell me there'd be people in here. You've been wandering around the halls for hours, and I'll say this burst in. You got applause going all over the place. Once all this confetti, you know, I got to get a leaf blower and get all this out of my hair and stuff. And I'm too late for this kind of thing. By the way, how are you?
We're good.
We are good.
We're good. For this late on a Thursday, we are remarkably chipper, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's episode 299, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. Happy to round off the 200s. Hoping you save the best for last. I mean, season finale is supposed to be the best, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah.
I can't believe it's been going this long. To be honest,
I know. But
you know, it's been seven years now. It's
so,
just like,
yeah,
well, and,
so.
You know, and I said right at the beginning, I said, the minute I get bored with it, it stops, because, you know, and I'm famous, certainly amongst Xtina, I'm famous for my very, very short attention span.
Short.
But we have,
you know,
such phenomenal guests on. You know,
that's true.
Every week is different, and it's nice. It's great, and we'll meet some wonderful, wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see if I can break that streak.
Oh, yeah. Well,
no pressure.
We have had some interesting shows, and I think it'd be really fun if we could get, like, you know, a bloopers reel or something, like, to go and pick out some of the really awkward silences or the guests that have revealed a little too much for us. We've had some of those. That would be fun. that would be a lot of fun.
Interviewing authors, you got to know what you're getting into.
I suppose that is true. But yes, Benjamin is here to talk to us about his book, Cyberwood. It has a very long tagline, and do you want to read it, James? I just, like, threw it under the bus.
It caught my attention straight away. Okay, here we go. When a biome of cybernetic trees threatens the villages surrounding it, Faye and her arch-rival Lily must travel through the heart of the forest itself to find Faye's grandmother, the High Technomantress. I mean, to be fair, you've got me at cybernetic trees. I want this book. I mean, wow. So, Benjamin, please explain What are cybernetic trees? Please, I need to know.
Hey, I'm still trying to find that out. Well, it was actually kind of, that kind of relates it to where the book came from in the first place, because, you know, I kind of had the idea just sort of deep in the recesses of what I call a mind. And, you know, it's like, you know, you got cybernetic people. That's been a sci-fi staple since forever.
Yeah.
You have, cybernetic animals, that has factored into. But for me, it's like, you know, cybernetic plants, you don't hear an awful lot about that, probably because, like, on the surface of it, pretty boring, like kind of a computer plant hybrid, you know, it doesn't seem to spark enough attention or imagination. Well, I think about it for more than a few seconds, it's like, okay, yeah, there's a lot of ways this could go wrong, so how about I make a whole forest of them, make a whole biome, stick it in the middle of the desert, and put a bunch of hapless people in the middle, see how they like it. And then, wouldn't you know it, a protagonist came out of nowhere. And yeah, that's, I guess.
I love it.
It's very
so
unique.
Unique.
Yeah,
it is.
Yes,
love it. Absolutely. What a great concept.
And
oh, thank
I
you.
Didn't even... I didn't even plan it tonight. We have two. They were both YA authors, and I did not plan that at all. And what constitutes as YA? I mean, is it just no swearing or no adult content? Like, what? I'm not sure what makes it YA.
I know. As I tell people, it means you can have a little more fun. Well, I don't know. Maybe from what I've seen with the young adults. Yeah, you gotta cut back on swearing. Like, I mean, you can have a really good book with swearing. I mean, there's a reason why I've got The Martian on my shelf, and I keep rereading that every so often. But young adult, like, it's kind of that, and you're kind of expected to keep up the tempo a little bit more, which is why, you know, I think one of the dirty little secrets of young adult is you could theoretically just knock the young off of it and just put adult. Because honestly, you know, I mean, there's a good market for this too. I mean, you know, there are always just books you got to keep around as adults that, you know, it's like, you know, oh, some people might look down like, oh, you're reading a children's book. It's like, okay, you go and be boring in your corner all by yourself. I'm just going to sit here and read as much of the Chronicles of Narnia as I can. You can,
right?
You know, I think I saw a meme that summed it up pretty well once. It's like, you know, don't shame adults who read children's books. Over here, you've got adults reading about people having affairs and being sad. Over here, I've got a worm driving an apple. You tell me who's winning.
Yes. I remember when my kids were little and I used to read to them, and there was this series that we used to read, and I'm trying to think. It was called The Sisters Grimm. Like, it was supposed to be the descendants of the Grimm brothers, and they were two little girls, and the adventures and stuff, and it was so good. Like, I think I wanted to read it even when they didn't. Like, I was like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. And they were just well-written, and they were just exciting. I was more excited, I think, than they were to read them. And there's nothing wrong. James was talking about earlier in the show, whatever anyone's reading, as long as they're reading, you know, I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I did always wonder, you know, what made something a YA, and then in the romance community, you have NA, which is new adult, and I'm like, what's the difference between, you know, new adult and just regular adult, and there's so many different little niches there, but, you know, like Stephen King, he writes an awful lot of books with kids or teenagers as, you know, the main characters, but they're definitely not... not for kids. So I always wondered what the criteria was there for it being a YA.
I know, kind of sitting here thinking about it a little bit. I can understand that, especially why Stephen King would do that, because, you know, us as adults, ideally, you know, you don't want to see a child get hurt or scared or lost or confused. And so, you know, him using that is just a really great way of playing off that, really getting the reader invested. It's like, please don't hurt this innocent little child, even though I know you're gonna, Steve. I mean, you're good at this for a reason. I know, and also that's another thing. You know, I talk an awful lot, you know, separating young adult kind of from the adult stuff, but then, you know, kind of from the bottom up, I know it's kind of like a children's book, someone gets shoved in the back. New adult, someone gets cut a bit. Young adult, someone gets stabbed through. And adult, someone gets blown up and you're describing the chunks. Something like that, in my opinion.
That's a great way to put it. I'm going to remember that. Yeah, James is definitely, everybody is blown to smithereens. There's pieces everywhere. There's blood everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is. Absolutely.
And, like, I'm okay with the blood everywhere and the pieces everywhere, just as long as at the end of it you say, and they were all happily ever after. Then I'm happy.
They're all blown up, but happily ever after.
Well, you know, yeah.
Well,
or you know, maybe they wake up from a dream, a bad dream. You know, that would be fun. Yeah.
Happily ever after, except for the subconscious scarring, which,
yeah,
to be fair,
yeah.
that's how, I think that there's a lot of undertones in that in a lot of books that go that way, but I digress.
Definitely. But I am excited to hear more about Cyberwood. I think you had an excerpt to read for us.
Yes, I do.
Woo.
So, all right, but, okay, first of all, you know, this, as far as our reading goes, you know, I've hard time with, don't expect me to do very good voices. In fact, I was thinking that, you know, maybe I'll do a menu, like I'll give you a normal auctioneer, comatose, and Stephen Wright, something like that. But, I don't know.
Yeah, we realize you're not like a book narrator, so it's fine. Just read it for us. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't. As soon as my voice went bass, I gave up on feminine voices for like the rest of my life. So of course I write a book where most of the characters are female. Guess that's it is what it is.
Right. So do you need to set up the scene or anything?
Oh, I'll try a little bit. I like to think it's a little self-explanatory. Well, basically, Cyberwood, being Cyberwood, has gone completely haywire beyond the reach. The high technomantress, that is, she's gone. And Faye has just more or less broken into the technomantress tower in Technic Clearing. Yes, get used to the Technic stuff. That is how they keep track of their stuff. It's a very efficient system. But so she's in there. We just had a talk with the technomantress apprentice, Lily, who's kind of monitoring the situation and just telling about, okay, here's why Cyberwood is offline. The inter-village teleportation system that relies on Cyberwood, that's not working. So the villages are cut off. Communication's gone. So basically, you know, if you're under a glass dome in the Sahara, life isn't looking too good right now. So we just had Lily just finished her explanation, and I'll let Lily take it from here. Right, Lily confirmed. Here's the best part. The snarl is expanding. It's going to reach and overrun Technic Clearing and the other clearing villages within 5 days at its current rate. 5 days. Faye looked back toward Lily, but her eyes stopped at the staff crystal, lowered to an inch from her face. So, if you had anything to do with this, Lily continued, you'd better spill. Now. Faye stepped back, holding up her hands. Absolutely nothing. I promise. I wish I could tell you I did, but Grandma did give me the staff to hold while she put the techno band on me. She blushed, and I was a bit flustered. A flash of suspicion appeared, but soon left Lily's face, disappointment rolling in. No, she said, half to herself. If you'd done something then, it wouldn't explain why the high technomantress got to Medi-Clearing fine. Did you touch the staff afterward? Not until you hit me with it. Faye made a pointed glance at the crystal right in front of her. Lily sighed. Great. Square one. Well, sorry about attacking you, I guess. Feel free to see yourself out. I only have 5 days to think. She made for the other end of the chamber, climbing the stairs toward the upper level. Goodbye. Faye, on the other hand, remained exactly where she was, staring at the map. Maybe she was relieved and maybe a bit disappointed that this mess wasn't Lily's fault. At least, it didn't look like Lily's fault. The person Faye saw wasn't somebody bent on Cyberwood domination. She'd all but admitted point blank her lack of control. However, if she wasn't the guilty party, who was to blame? Who could explain the overload? Grandma? Faye saw the pale face, the skeletal hand, the limp robes all bouncing on a gurney into the mouth of the gate. Probably not her. Or maybe she did cause it. But what if she was dead? or what if, but then again, hey, why are you still here? Lily still hadn't reached the next level yet. Faye ignored the apprentice and sat cross-legged on the floor. She held her chin, staring at the little dots skittering across the floor and into the map projector. Like the dots, Faye's thoughts converged on one bright spot, and for Faye, that spot was Grandma, the high technomantress, the longest-reigning, most knowledgeable technomancer in all of Cyberwood's history. All Faye's questions focused on her, the one ship that had to know how to ride the storm, even if she did sail into it. And, pow, Faye jumped to her feet with an open-mouthed smile, which turned into a look of open-mouthed horror at her, as her idea sank in. Up at the top of the stairs, Lily had balcony seats to Faye's reaction progression. Faye, are you okay down there? It's getting late, which is why we have to leave right now. Lily peered down into the chamber. Sorry? Getting a slight shiver at the opportunity to explain something to Lily for a change, Faye ran around the map hologram. So, Cyberwood is out of control? Yes. If it expands, we're screwed? Again, yes. And we don't have teleporters or communications. Faye reached the stairs and climbed. Yes, stop repeating. And ultimately, the one who is closest to all this, the one who would understand this the best and might even have an explanation for everything is Grandma, right? Lily closed her eyes, clearly trying to keep her fist from flying. But Grandma is in medi-clearing right now, Faye said. If she's alive, she still can't help us, Lily answered. Even I can't reach her. Faye stopped 5 steps away, holding out her hand to the apprentice technomantress. But what if we could? Lily shook her head. You said it yourself. No communications. I didn't mean contacting her. I mean going to get her. In the silence that followed, one could almost hear the tower's glittering specks running toward the map. Lily lifted her chin, speaking slowly and weighing every word. You mean going into Cyberwood, traveling through it to get to Medi-clearing? Her own horror at the reckless idea now passed, Faye beamed. Yes. What good would that do? Faye pointed. It would help Grandma if she had her staff, right? It would make things easier for her, certainly. All right, Faye explained. If she's accidentally behind Cyberwood Snarl, the staff will help her clean it up. If, for some reason, she did it on purpose, then we'll get her to clean it up and use that to make it easier. And, Faye swallowed before getting the words out, if she is dead, we'll know she can't help us, which is something. It's our best chance, admit it. Lily hesitated. Come on, Faye pleaded. You're an apprentice. You basically admitted you can't fix Cyberwood with only 2 years of experience. You're asking me to throw myself into miles of Cyberwood after only 2 years of training, Lily declared. Not to mention the 0 years of training you had. It's better than nothing, Faye tried. Really? We automatically fail if we don't leave, as opposed to a successful march into unexplored certain death. Faye swung her balled-up fist into her thighs. Seriously? You've never gone into Cyberwood, and you somehow know it's so bad. Lily stepped down and grabbed Faye by the shoulder. Fine, she said directly to Faye. Here's your second technomantress lesson, the first one your grandmother taught me. Cyberwood is an independent, self-sustaining system which controls energy, data, communications, everything we do in this biome. It's not a forest like your natural forest. It's closer to the forest in the fairy tales, and it knows those fairy tales better than you. The wood knows. It knows what woods are, what they have been, and how they survive. They know what desperate men have done to woods in the past, and I repeat, it is designed to protect itself. We've only kept it back for so long by using its own system, and that system is drawing itself further beyond our control as we speak. Cyberwood is every enchanted forest you read about in your life, and don't think it won't throw a few wolves on our way to bring the fairy tale to an end. And you want me, a trainee, and you, an uninitiate, to walk into that nightmare. Faye's eyes were wide, but another swallow freed her reply. We all have to face our nightmares at some point. Lily turned around and swept up the stairs. And I faced mine already, Faye yelled after her. You know when that was? Lily paused. It was the day Grandma chose you to receive the techno band. And scene.
I had to unmute myself because I was trying to like be really quiet and you know, that never happened. So I had to mute myself. No, that was so good. And I'm so, you read it so well.
That was awesome.
You know,
yeah.
Is this an audiobook? Because it should be.
Well, again, hopefully I'm not, if it does, hopefully I'm not reading it.
No, you did a really good job.
I need someone who can do better voices.
Well, yeah. I have to say that I remember reading books to my kids, and that was the worst part is the voices, because I was never very good at it. But no, you did a great job, and that was, yeah. You know, I have to say, I'm always in awe of fantasy and sci-fi writers, because you know you have to create a whole world out of, you know. I can write with what I see with my eyes, but as far as, you know, creating things, I just think it's amazing. I'm definitely applaud authors who can create, you know, really rich worlds. And I can definitely see that. Is this going to be a series, or is there any sequels in the works?
Well, it was initially, this is a, something I would like to toss out there as kind of a little comfort to readers. This was initially written as kind of its own standalone, but the way it ended, no spoilers, but it definitely has a little bit of room for continuation. And I'm marshaling as much as I can for a sequel. In fact, I do want to start writing that a little bit. Of course, things keep me busy nowadays. I got my wife and two little boys to take care of, and when I'm not taking care of them, I also have a newspaper to take care of.
Wow.
So sometimes after a long day of writing the news, you come back and are like, well, guess I'm done writing things today. I'm done with words.
Yeah.
Just put me down in front of a computer game so I can shoot something. But
I
yeah,
understand.
Yeah,
I understand completely with, you know, James and I running Hellbound, and you know, after all day you're reading things and, you know, emails, and just you get done with the night, and I have books that I would love to read for pleasure, and I'm like, my brain is kind of hurty right now, so I just, it's mind-numbing TV. I love to relax with a nice cooking show. So I don't really kill things in video games, but I like to watch the kids bake. That, you know, is soothing to me.
I like a good, it's nice to have a good YouTube video every so often, because, you know, reading is great. Reading, like, reading promotion, naturally I'm all for it, just out of my own self, not just out of my own self-interest, though, but also because, it's a good mental exercise. Everyone's book experience is going to be different from someone else. But ultimately,
definitely,
you know, if you just want to turn your brain off and have data fed to you for a little bit, which, again, some days, no shame in that. We got plenty of content for that too. Which is like, yeah, for me, it's probably why, you know, audiobook is all right, but I don't know. If I ever went audiobook, I'd probably just zone out and miss half the book by accident. Which is why
I love
having the hard copy.
Yeah, you know, we have people love audiobooks. There are, you know, definitely another audience out there who love audiobooks. I find myself the same way. I cannot concentrate on them. It just turns into background music, and I can't really concentrate on it. And so I definitely need, you know, to read the book myself. I actually found myself one time when I was reading or listening to an audiobook, and I had the physical book as well. I picked that up, and I turned to the page, and I read while they were reading, and that seemed to, you know, I didn't zone out then, so that was something. Yeah.
Well,
so that may work. It's definitely not for everyone, but I think there's a definitely an audience for it. So
Yeah, again, I can see myself with an audiobook just trying to do some sort of task while it's playing in the background. And the book is too, like, and then he fired four shots into his chest. And I'm like, wait a minute, were they making screw a minute ago?
Yes.
What happened
exactly
in the middle? I was putting down a memo.
It's exactly how it is when I try to listen to him. Yeah, it's awful. But, I think we're just about out of time for our show, and tonight has went by so fast; it's just been a blur. But you have to promise that you're going to come back and see us.
Oh, I'd love to. Trust me, I can yammer on more about this book, especially.
Yeah, we...
And I think another reason why writers in particular should consider supporting it as well is because it started life as a NaNoWriMo project. So, yeah, any listeners, but, yeah, National Novel Writing Month. Got to get out 50,000 words in a month, and I figured, you know, I can't call myself a legit writer until I did it. So 2019, this happened, and then I polished the heck
out
of it.
Welcome. Well done, Mike.
That's awesome. Yeah, so before we let you go, let us know real quick where we can find you online.
All right. So personally, I recommend my Twitter and Instagram, both of which are at Ultrasonic, which is ultra, like U-L-T-R-A, sonic,
mm-hmm.
S-O-N as in Nancy, N-E-K. And that's just one word, no space, all lowercase, et cetera. Just aim for, like, if you're aiming for Twitter, look for all the tweets that are seem weirdly comical. If you're on Instagram, look for the one that I really need to use more often. But you are going to see the Cyberwood cover on it, certainly. But,
awesome.
Yeah, those are the two I'm trying to use more. I'm trying to use more often. And, yeah, especially, like, once the book starts coming out more. It is worth mentioning, it is available for pre-order. We are a little bit past the point where, you know, you pre-order it and you get it on the release date, which is March 20th, just for the record.
Mm.
But, you know, every little bit helps. You know, if you're interested in the book, you want to read something fun, you know, part of the, I hope I'm not taking up too much time, but part of the thing with this book that I particularly like about it is I almost consider it a return to, like, the pre-2020 years when we had Percy Jackson and The Hunger Games and more of that stuff kind of in the mainstream. Like, you know, just good old-fashioned, what am I talking about? Medium-ish fashion, good science fiction, fantasy, just, you know, this book is, I'm not trying to preach to anyone. I'm just like, here was this cool idea. Here was the catastrophic story that came out of it. We're all here to have a good time. And, well, relatively speaking, the protagonist, it's a little nightmare for them.
Thank you.
But, hey,
thank you so much, Benjamin. Yeah, that was Benjamin Sonic talking about his book Cyberwood. And thank you so much for coming on the show. I can't wait to have you back.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Have a
wonderful rest of your night. Okay. Bye-bye. And time has beaten us, Xtina. It is, unfortunately, time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just fly starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly away. We'll be right back. Once I get you up there where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together weather-wise. It's such a lovely day. You just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.